The scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew 27, beginning to read with verse 11 through 26, Jesus before Pilate. And we're going to look at this theme, Jesus or Barabbas. And we'll note two things. First, the issue before Pilate and the people, and secondly, the verdict by the people and Pilate. It is very ironic that the people who welcomed Jesus on Palm Sunday were among those who also condemned him before Pontius Pilate. Reading then from Matthew 27, beginning to read with verse 11. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who was called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with this innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who was called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. So far the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this passage of Scripture, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You will open our minds, our hearts, to this awful scene. That Jesus was placed before the people as on the same ballot as Barabbas. Heavenly Father, we pray that You will help us to understand the depth of the sorrow and the depth of God's judgment upon him. Lord, open our hearts to see the gospel, that him who knew no sin, You made him to be sin on our account, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, there are some things in which you and I cannot be on the fence. We cannot be on the fence. And Jesus is certainly the prime example. You cannot be on the fence with Jesus. Pilate tried. But in the end, he had him crucified. You cannot be on the fence with Jesus. Pilate washed his hands. He said, I'm innocent of the blood of this man. But in the end, he condemned him to death. It's impossible to be on the fence. You must be on one side or the other. So let's look at this morning. Jesus or Barabbas? The issue before Pilate and the people. Pilate tried every way to get out of making a judgment. He did not want to make a judgment here. His wife even urged him to have nothing to do with this innocent man because she suffered much in a dream because of him. Pilate was trying every which way to get out of making a decision. He didn't want to make a decision. He didn't want to antagonize the people. And he didn't want to condemn an innocent man. Because he knew Jesus was innocent. He knew that it was because of envy that the leaders of the people brought Jesus before him to be condemned. He knew it. But he didn't want to antagonize the people. And he didn't want to condemn an innocent man. And here he is. He's trying to get out of making a decision. But it's impossible. Jesus said, you are either for me or against me. And in the end, even though Pilate wanted to make no decision at all, in the end he said, flog him and crucify him. What's the issue? There was a custom that at the time of Passover, a prisoner would be released. Now it's interesting that that custom was at the time of the Passover. Why? Why was there that custom at the time of the Passover? Well, you know what the Passover signified. It was the remembrance of the deliverance from Egypt. And the sentence of death was upon every home in Egypt. That the firstborn son of every home was going to be destroyed by the angel of death. And the one thing that would protect the oldest child, the oldest son of that home, was if another died in his place. And that other was a lamb. And Moses instructed them to take a lamb and to kill the lamb and to paint the doorpost and the lintel with that blood. And when the angel of death came and saw the blood, he would pass over that house. That's why it was called Passover. And every year there was the Passover feast. Now there was the custom that at the time of the feast, a prisoner would be released. Why? Well, the reason is that Israel right now, at Jesus' day, was under Roman rule. They were in prison, so to speak, to Rome. Rome had control of that entire area. And Pilate, the governor of Rome, was in charge. And so releasing a prisoner was to Israel a sign, a type, a promise that someday they would be released again, just as they were released through the Passover from slavery in Egypt. So that's why every year there was this prisoner who was released. And so Pilate thinks, here is a wonderful way out. So he chooses, or the people choose, the worst prisoner out. The worst prisoner. He was Barabbas. Barabbas was one who led a revolution against Rome. So he was, in a certain sense, a hero of the people of Israel, because he was trying to get them out from under Roman rule. So Barabbas was notorious from the Roman point of view, but from the Israel point of view, he was a hero, because he was trying to deliver them from Egypt, from Roman rule. So Pilate thought, here it is. Here's my solution. Certainly this will be a way for me to get out from under the responsibility of making a choice. So he says, which one do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who was called Christ? Now, there's something else here that we have to understand. Who is Barabbas? The name Barabbas, Bar in Hebrew, is son of. And Abba, you know what that means, is father. Abba, father. Abba is father. So his name really, his last name, is son of a father. And very likely, his father was a rabbi. Because rabbis were called fathers. And so it could very well be he was a son of a rabbi. But there is a manuscript, an ancient manuscript, which says that he had a first name. That Barabbas was his last name, and his first name was Jesus. If you have an ESV study Bible, you will notice that that fact is laid out in that note of the study Bible. That an ancient manuscript says that there is a Jesus Barabbas, that he's the one. And that kind of makes sense when Pilate says, which do you want to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? So you've got two Jesus, Jesus Barabbas and Jesus Christ, and which one do you want me to release to you? Now the issue is deeper. Because Jesus Barabbas, or Barabbas, let's just call him Barabbas. I don't want to use that glorious name Jesus to describe this criminal, this murderer, this robber, this revolutionary. Because that's what he was. We would call him today a terrorist. That's what he was. He was trying to overthrow the government of Rome by means of an insurrection and by means of force. He was trying to do that. So he represented a certain worldview, a certain view of how things are. And his view was, might makes right. His view was, we can destroy this Roman government if we only all take arms and fight them. and we'll get a guerrilla warfare against them, and we'll destroy this Roman government. And that's what he was about. So he was a man of the sword. He was the man of force and crime, and he'll do anything to achieve his goal, which was freedom from Roman rule. So that's a worldview. We see that worldview today too. Every day in the paper or on TV, you read about terrorism. We are confronted with terrorism today. Okay, they are like Barabbas. Barabbas was like that. He was a man of the sword. Now, in contrast to that, you have Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? He said, put away your sword. Do you know what he said? He that lives by the sword will die by the sword. Was Jesus after freedom? Certainly. Certainly, Jesus came to free us from sin. He came to free us from spiritual bondage. He came to deliver us from the domination of Satan. And so you have two kingdoms here. You've got the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of violence over the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of love and grace and peace. Put away your sword. The kingdom of truth over the kingdom of force and the kingdom of subversion. Those are the two kingdoms. And they're in battle right now in front of Jesus Himself. And He lays before the people the choice. What do you want? And of course you know what the verdict was. But before we get to the verdict, I want you to know something about how Jesus must have felt. Jesus Christ, you know who He is. We know who He is. He is the Son of God. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He is without sin. He is pure, undefiled. He heard His Father say, "This is My Son, in whom I am well pleased." Of no one else did God ever say that. No one. Only Jesus. That's who He is. The perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God. Here He stands, and He's on the same ballot with Barabbas. He is put on a par with Barabbas. This is exactly what Isaiah prophesied. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. Here He's on a ballot with Barabbas. Can you imagine? What an insult. And yet, this was God's design. This was God's plan. And this was Jesus' own will. I came to do the will of My Father. Have this mind in you, says Paul in Philippians 2. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, being God Himself, did not consider that deity to be something to be grasped onto, that honor, that privilege, that priority to be grabbed on, held onto, but emptied himself, remaining God. He is God in the flesh, eternal God, the Word who was with God and who was God and is God. But he emptied himself of all the honor, the prerogatives, the privileges of it, and became flesh. He became man, dwelt among us, and he humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. He took upon that himself freely, willingly, obediently. And Hebrews 12 says he did it joyfully, numbered with the transgressors. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, him who knew no sin, God made him to be sin on our account. And here he is, numbered with the transgressors, on a par with the terrorist Barabbas. What a disgrace to the person of Jesus. And yet this is exactly what the gospel is. That he became a worm and no man. God forsook him. Psalm 22, it's exactly what it says. He became a worm and no man. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That forsakenness was seen already right here in front of Pilate when he was numbered with Barabbas. That's the issue. That's the depth of the sorrow. That's the depth of the scorn which was heaped upon our Savior. He endured it because he loved you and me so much. And so these two worldviews are there. What a contrast. Now what's the verdict? So Pilate lays it before the people. Certainly the people will see the justice of letting Jesus go free. That's what Pilate is hoping for. But Pilate, you can't trust the people. People are fickle. The majority has been wrong more than it's been right. The majority at the time of Noah were all wrong. The majority at the time of Jesus were all wrong. The majority at the time of the early church was all wrong. Pilate trusted the people. That's not a good idea. It's not really a good idea. The people are going to vote the way they want to. And the people, in essence, are extremely self-centered and selfish. So they vote for Barabbas. They vote for Barabbas. He's the one. Give us Barabbas. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? He asked, and they all say, "Crucify him. Nail him to a cross." And there's Jesus standing. He was forsaken of God. He was forsaken of man. He was rejected, despised, for your sake and my sake. He was scourged and crucified. Now you and I are faced with decisions too. Jesus says to you and to me, He says to every one of us, He says to each little child, "What do you think of the Christ? What do you think of Jesus? Are you going to vote for Him? Are you going to vote for Him when it comes to your friends? Are you going to seek your friends among those who also crown Jesus?" You see, there's only two choices. Either crown Him or crucify Him. And you can't do both. You cannot evade this decision. You either crown Him as King or you crucify Him. There's no gray, there's no middle ground. No way, no middle ground. You either crown Him or crucify Him. Okay, it comes to your friends. What kind of friends are you going to choose? Well, how about the friend that you're going to marry? Are you going to marry someone who also crowns Jesus as King? Then you're going to have a good marriage. You will have a good marriage if you marry someone who, like you, crown Jesus as King. You'll say, "Jesus Christ is the King of my life. He's the King of my family. He's the King of my children. He's the King of how I use my money, how I use my time, and how I use my abilities and my talents. It's all going to be for His cause, for His kingdom." But if we don't crown Him as King, we may say, "Well, you know, I don't really want to make a decision. I want to wait. Give me more time." Do you know there's a moment now, but we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Today is the acceptable day. Crown Him as King of your life now. And crowning Him as King means trusting Him with all your heart. Being numbered as one of His followers, one of His disciples, one of His friends who know Him, who love Him, who will obey Him, and who will do what Jesus says. That is crowning Him as King. Going my own way, just pleasing myself, living for money, living for fun, living for pleasure, living for all of this that this world gives, is no better than voting for Barabbas. And condemning Jesus. So, the verdict, what's your verdict? The verdict of Pilate and the verdict of the people was, crucify Him. What's your verdict? And my verdict? Oh, may it be truly, Jesus Christ, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve that You went through all that for me. I didn't earn it. But Lord, I love You. I trust in You. I know that there is no other name given among men whereby we may be saved than Your name. And Lord Jesus, thank You for being willing to number Yourself with the transgressors for my sake, because I'm a transgressor. And you know when the last day comes, when Jesus calls you home, and your last day will be the day of your death, or as the children sang, the day He comes or takes me home, whichever day it is. It's not going to be, what do I think of Him? It's going to be, what does He think of me? Am I one of His? And that is all of grace. Jesus said, didn't He? You did not choose me, but I chose you. It's all of grace. And it's all by faith. And it's in Christ alone. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Thank You that He endured such shame and suffering for our sakes. Forgive our sins. Receive us as Your own. In Jesus' name, Amen.